ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are continuing today the seminar we started yesterday. In the beginning, I was planning to go through 3 days through three different topics: Vaishnava Seva, Namaruchi, and Jivadaya. But yesterday we went actually only half on the notes I had on Vaishnava Sangha. So I thought we just peacefully continue on that topic. This part is actually very interactive. Whenever you have questions or comments, you can always interrupt me and we can discuss more. It's more like a discussion between all of us than just me speaking. And yesterday we had very nice commentaries and inspiration also by other listeners. So I would like to start first by Hare Krishna, Gopati, welcome. I would like to start by just summarizing what we heard yesterday, and then I think Sankita, you had one or two questions, and then I will, if there are not other questions, then I will just continue on the notes I have here. So yesterday we started the by a little bit bringing into vision the importance of the Vaishnavas and who are the Vaishnavas, that we actually very often have this opportunity to associate with Vaishnavas, but very often we are thinking they are ordinary person. We don't pay a really good importance. We don't value so much actually the chance we have to associate with devotees. And then there was this beautiful verse from Vritasura, who was in a big battle with Indra. He was in the body of a demon, but he was actually a devotee. And right in the middle of the battle, he's pronouncing such a beautiful verse where he's asking the Lord, when will I again be established in my position to be a servant of the servant of your servant? When that will again happen? Because when I will be in that position, then all my words will be able to glorify you. All my activities will be able to be given to you with love and devotion. All my words will be given to you. So this verse is actually giving us very deep entrance into bhakti, into loving devotional service, by this entering the position of a servant, which is well known. We have heard that many times, but not only being a servant of Krishna, but the servant of the servant of the servant. And this is in the words of Vritasura, is the key access for us to enter into a genuine devotional service, where our heart is open. And it's actually very, very interesting. We had a japa retreat maybe 4 years ago in America, and Giriraj Swami and Satchinandana Swami were the main speaker. And Giriraj Swami had a lecture called Chanting with an Open Heart. So everyone was very eager to come to that lecture and see what does it mean? How can our heart be open for our chanting? And from the beginning to the end, Maharaj just spoke on Vaishnava relationship, mentioning that actually when our relationship with other Vaishnava is nicely based on service between each other, then the heart is just opening. And when the heart is opening, then it's actually very easy to chant with an open heart and to do actually all our services. But when envy is there, when criticism is there, then the function of the heart is just to close and to become hard. And as more it is close, as more it is hard, as difficult it is actually to chant or to do any devotional service. It's almost impossible. So our relationship with the Vaishnavas that are around us is actually very, very deep ground for us to be able to serve Krishna. So that we started yesterday with this point. We heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, who decided, I want to become in the form of Mahaprabhu, in the form of a servant. I want to be a servant. I want to experience the bliss that is of serving. He's saying, Shrimati Radharani is experiencing highest love, that what I'm experiencing myself. I want to experience that. I want to take the position of a servant. We heard how when we come in this position of the servant, we are actually helping ourselves to come out of egocentric, egoistic mentality. When we try to serve, we are not anymore in the center of the picture. And there was a beautiful verse that was explaining the benefit of serving the Vaishnavas. The verse was giving a comparison with the fire. And the verse was starting, just as cold, fear and darkness are eradicated when we are close to the sacrificial fire, in the same way, when we are serving Vaishnava, three things will be removed from our heart. Anyone from yesterday remember? What were those points?
Ignorance, fear and darkness.
Very good, Mataji. Very good brain. Very good memory. Yeah. When we are engaged in serving the Vaishnavas, ignorance, dullness, and fear will be eradicated. And then we heard a little bit how do we do that in practice? How do we serve Vaishnavas? Obviously, often we relay Vaishnava Seva with doing menial service to the Vaishnava, folding their dhotis or serving them prasadam, and which are actually very, very good practical way to do that. But we touched actually a very, very deep way of encouraging devotees and mainly inspiring them in devotional service. There was this point that very often we use all our energy to bring new people into Krishna consciousness, and when they start chanting their rounds, we think, okay, now that's it, they are devotees, and we actually don't continue to cultivate them and help them to progress further. And that's something very, very necessary in our community, especially when we want to build up communities. Then we need very much this interrelationship between Vaishnava based on Krishna Katha, based on deep spiritual topics. Because often we hear about Vaishnava Sangha or Satsangha, but it doesn't mean we are just living close to Vaishnavas or living all together in the same house or sitting next to the Vaishnavas. That's not actually there that the Satsangha is manifested. The Satsangha is manifested when we are actually engaged between each other in speaking about Krishna, in hearing about Krishna, in sharing our realization and asking others for their realization, of helping ourselves to process our spiritual life and to realize what we are going through and getting advice in our spiritual journey. That's the pure Krishna Katha. That's what makes the Sangha a Satsangha. Also, obviously, meeting together and chanting the holy name together, it's also very much Satsangha. We also underlined these six loving exchanges between devotee, giving prasad, accepting prasad, giving gifts, accepting gifts. But as very important and much more important of all of them, opening one's mind in confidence and inquiring for others or helping others to open their mind so that they can reveal actually what is happening in their own spiritual life. And we see in the development of our society, of ISKCON, how many devotees actually left our movement because this space was not provided for deep exchange and opening one's heart, and we will be more like colleagues. You do this service, I do that service, without actually entering deeper into those relationships. So I would like from now to start the day or the lecture of today. And first, let's start with the question that were there. Sankita, you had something?
Yes, trying to be quiet.
It looks like Vrindavan Garden.
Yeah, very special darshan tomorrow. The question was more just whether you could go a little bit more into the detail of the six level exchange of revealing one's mind and confidence. The background behind that for me is that sometimes one may have a conversation with someone, but actually it can just be a negatory conversation which is criticizing them. I mean, it's still revealing one's mind and confidence, you could say, but just how it should be that, you know.
I was hearing some days ago one lecture from my Guru Maharaj when he mentioned that for the Sat Sangha to take place, the devotees to whom we approach need to have three qualities. He needs to be affectionate, he needs to be more advanced than us, and he needs to be desiring of sharing experience or sharing something from his Krishna consciousness. And then we can actually have this satsanga when we find this type of person and we can open to them. And that's actually very nice that we have festivals, because it's maybe not all the time possible in the temples we are living. It's not, we don't have so many devotees that we feel they have those three characteristics. They are more advanced, they are affectionate and wanting to share their experience. So actually when there are festivals, like the festival is coming now, it's actually an opportunity, because there will be many of them. So obviously the whole festival is centered around Nisshingadev, and all worship should go to Nisshingadev. But it's very nice that during the day we get sometimes for quality exchange with devotees. And when we know of those devotees who are affectionate, who wants to share and who are a little more advanced than us, then we should really ask them, let's go for a walk, or let's take prasadam together and have this opportunity of a deeper exchange. Now it seems in your question you ask also, how do we do that? How do we reveal our heart? Basically, we need to provide a certain space. If we just do that on the hallway front of the temple room, it will not work so well. The best is really to be a little bit aside, to go for a walk or to sit in a corner and and then I think one should just okay, yeah, I know what I want, how I wanted to say, because sometimes when we need to reveal one's mind, we have sometimes difficulties, or we have something, some type of weight in our mind, and sometimes it's something negative, and we might start, oh, this devotee did this to me or that to me. And we feel, oh my God, here we are deeply entering the Vaishnava Aparad area. Now, what is good to do in such occasion is to not mention names, so that no one is directly spotted as a person who did something bad. And it's actually sometimes normal. Sometimes it's needed. Like, I remember we had a Kirtan day in Czech Republic, the whole day, and at the end we were driving back to Prague, and I asked the devotee, so how were your experience today? And one devotee said, in the morning, another devotee was so harsh with me that the whole day I was disturbed. I just could not, I was chanting the whole day, but I just could not follow why he had been so hard with me. And so sometimes when we have difficulties with other devotees, if we just keep it for ourselves, it's very difficult to process it. But when we can actually discuss that with another devotee, the other devotee can give some different perspective on the situation. And at that time, it's good if we are in the position of giving shelter or giving association, we should not stop the person and say, no, you are doing a parad. It's a service to allow the person to empty the tension that he has in his heart. But this should be occasionally. There are some people who have this tendency to always do that in all circumstances, and to them we should say no, that's be careful, here we enter into an area which is dangerous. Yeah, does it answer?
Yeah? Just finally, in terms of if somebody reveals their mind to us in confidence, in the outside world, when I used to work for a charity, you always have to gauge one's level. You know, for instance, if I was working with someone who was abusing drugs and they wanted something, I could not say immediately, just give up your addiction. You know, on the level that they're at. But is this also very much helpful with devotees? Because sometimes, you know, they're quite a new devotee and they're very distressed, emotional, maybe going through something quite severe. It feels like if I go into the condition of Qatar, you know, in terms of it's not quite, I mean, I can put some things which, you know, do you just have to gauge the level of what you can talk about?
And
this is the same as maybe in the outside world, where you can put some
things Krishna-related. You have to see how the person is. But very often it's good to have both. It's very good to give some basic advice, do a little more like this, or do a little more like that, or rest more, or go more on walk, or things like this. But it's very nice when you can add also a little Krishna Katha, because the Krishna Katha has a high potency of curing and cleaning. So when you get a bridge, it's nice to have both, actually. Yeah, it's nice to have both. Any comments, any other question on this topic? Or should we just proceed further? Yeah? So I would like to speak a little bit on supporting devotees. We had the point of inspiring devotees, and also another point I want to add into that is in this importance for us to speak on a transcendental level, on, like you were saying, transcendental knowledge yesterday. And Bhakti Radha Govinda Maharaj is saying something very interesting in one of his lectures. He said that actually our goal is to all the time remember Krishna and never forget him. That's the ultimate goal. All our sadhana, all we are doing is actually to be able to remember Krishna all the time. And then he was saying, how can we remember Krishna when we are putting so much non-Krishna things in our minds? So all what is entering in our mind is actually just turning into our mind and coming back and coming back. Did you notice? When you have some type of discussion, the mind just absorbs those topics and just reproject those topics in the minds. So as long as we hear actually so many things that are not connected to Krishna, they are just turning in our mind, and it's just impediment for us to be able to remember Krishna. We had some weeks ago a Krishna Katha seminar in Golokadam, and from morning to evening we would hear about pastimes of Krishna, and it was just amazing how the consciousness was transformed and how all the time the mind will remember what was heard, and how it was easy to reconnect and to visualize Krishna and while chanting. And so that's also, I think, very relevant point for us if we want to be able to remember more Krishna, that we do this effort of speaking more about Krishna, and automatically it will proceed that we will be able to remember more. So that was a little bit in the category of inspiring devotees as Vaishnava Seva. Now I would like to speak a little bit about supporting the Vaishnavas in the service, we can see that everyone has different tendencies that they like to use in Krishna consciousness. And sometimes due to envy, devotees tend to discourage other devotees to do a certain service. We were hearing yesterday about envy feeling that comes from devotees who see younger devotees who are progressing faster. That's very often we think, oh, why is such a young devotee? Why does he think he can do this or act like this? Or he's just a young, he should be humble and just stay quiet. And Devamrita Maharaj in a lecture make it very humorously. He's speaking in the words of an elder devotee who is envious. And he says, oh, yeah, don't worry, you will see in 1 year or 2 years, you will not be as enthusiastic. Cool down, you will also be like all of us. And and that's something Prabhupada was very much giving us the example of fanning the spark, of looking actually whatever is good in the devotees and really fanning that and supporting that, rather to actually try to extinguish that because of our envious nature. There was the example of Guru Govinda Swami, who was ready to get sannyas initiation from Prabhupada, and he was very young in the movement, a few years, and the GBC member, they came to Prabhupada and say, how can you give him initiation? He's a young boy. And Prabhupada told them, you are the young boys. He is much more advanced than all of you. He should receive. And there was this envious nature. And because of this envious nature, very often we tend to extinguish the spark. So supporting the devotees in whatever capacity, in whatever desire they have or abilities they have to serve Krishna is very, very important. As elder devotees, as devotees practicing since years, we should really learn this art of encouraging whatever small spark is there in the devotee's heart. It's so precious. We hear in the story of Putana, in her previous life, she was Ratnamala, the sister of Bali Maharaj. And when she saw Vamanadev coming, she just fell in love. She felt, wow, this boy is so beautiful. I would like to be his mother. I would like to give him my milk. But when she saw what Vamanadev did to Bali Maharaj by taking away all his kingdom and all his possession, she became angry. And she said, okay, because you did that, I will feed you with my milk like a mother, but I will also feed you with poison. So then the whole Leela of Putana happened. But what happened to her after Krishna liberated her? He awarded her the position in Vaikuntha, actually in Goloka, as a mother. And the explanation Prabhupada make, she just had this small desire to serve, just this small spark, this small tendency of giving pleasure to Krishna. And because of that, Krishna just purified everything else that was in her, everything that was bad, and just kept this small desire to please and accepted that. So all those small sparks that we find in the devotees, that any desire, any abilities the devotees have to serve, this is such a great service to support that and encourage the devotees in the service they are doing. That's actually a very, very important point. And for that, we need to work a little bit on our envious feelings. Devamrita Maharaj said something very nice connected to enviousness. He said that enviousness is actually indirect appreciation. When we are envious of others, we appreciate what they are doing, but we just feel, why them? It should be me. But it's actually a type of appreciation. So Devamrita Swami said, why do this indirect appreciation? Better you do the direct appreciation and just glorify the person and support the person, encourage the person for what he or she is able to perform. We have sometimes some meetings we call disciple meetings, in the family of Sachinandana's family, and also open for other disciples. But sometimes we do this type of meetings, and in one of those meetings they were discussing what are everyone's spiritual goals. What do they want to achieve spiritually? Or on the way, it might not be the highest goal, but they just, everyone revealed what they want to achieve on their spiritual journey for now, what they see for them as a goal. And then they all started to think, how can we encourage and help every others to reach their own goal? Can you imagine a little bit? It just brought such a loving dynamism, because everyone was thinking, oh, you could do like this, or you could do like that. Everyone was just encouraging, and oh, I have a solution for this, you can reach like that. And everyone was just so much in this mood of supporting. And when we are in that mood, again, the heart open. And at that time, one can actually approach Krishna and have a genuine loving feeling towards Krishna, because the heart is open, because those affectionate feelings are already awake in the association of the devotees. Something that is also very, very nice and very helpful for supporting devotees is to serve together, to do the same service the devotees are doing. I know one very, very successful devotee was just bringing hundreds of people, making them devotee one after another. And I once asked him, how do you do? How did you do to make all those people transform into devotee? He was saying, I just take them with me and we do service together. And I think I also try to do more and more of that. And it really brings beautiful energy. I was speaking of this Kirtan Day we had in Czech Republic. And we did that also to somehow encourage or serve the devotees who live in the farm. And those devotees are actually very, very much engaged into farming, into taking care of the land, and they are all quite overloaded with service. So we did this one day of Kirtan to serve them, but we noticed nobody came of them. They were just the devotee from Prague and devotee from other place. They were there for the Kirtan, but nobody from the farm could come. And then later we discussed, we thought, why don't we do next time, we do half a day, all the devotees go in the field or do a mark cleaning or just support their own service, and then we ask them, please, the other half of the day, come with us and join for the Kirtan. And very often we have also this tendency in our service, okay, you do that service, I do this service, and we separate each other. But when it's possible that we can do the service together and have association and train in that time of speaking about Krishna, of sharing realization, this is also a very, very beautiful way to support each other. Yeah, yeah. Can you give me some water? I'm dry. Yeah?
Just want to share a similar example in Sharanagati.
Yeah?
You all know where Sharanagati is? They have a harvest festival.
Sharanagati farm? In
yes.
Really?
I'm from near there.
Really?
So they have a similar thing, and it's a 4-day harvest festival.
Okay.
So many newcomers come from other cities, towns, because the devotees who are already associated,
okay.
And then everybody is engaged in struggle picking.
Okay.
And then they all have so much fun, because in the evening they have firewood. I mean, what do you call it? Stories.
Uh-huh.
With bonfire.
Wow.
And then raft yatra. They have lakes. They have raft yatra.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 days, new people coming, and the work is done because they can't do it alone.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Bala Krishna is the owner of that farm, Bala Krishna Prabhu.
Uh-huh.
So he created this harvest festival, and it's 4 days of this one. And also, the Gurukulis organized, when Mother Yamuna was there, they have about 4 days of Balaram festival organized by the Gurukulis.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, so many youth come from all over the world.
Mm.
They
Yeah. Thank you.
And new people coming.
Thank you so much. For those of you who don't know the Shanagati Farm, it's a community in, is it in north of America?
Northwest
of America, in Canada, which it's a community which is living very, very simple. Very, very simple accommodation. And they have, how many members are in the community?
There are about 50 affordable housing, but they have, I think, about 40 families and a school started by a Gurukuli with about 20 children.
Yeah.
Actually, they all have internet.
Yeah? Okay.
And every home, every child has a horse as a pet.
Okay.
Horse.
Okay, wow.
And they have root cellars, they grow their own vegetables, food, yeah. And they get them.
Yeah. I have heard that is one of our successful projects in community, living in community, because we see in ISKCON, we have many communities, but it's not easy for many of them to give really an example of flourishing or very beautiful work together. So that's a very nice place. Thank you, Mataji, for bringing this point also. Yeah, still in this supporting devotee by serving together, we can see that every devotee has different things they like in Krishna consciousness. Some like more kirtan, so some like more prasad or cooking or different aspect. And very often we think, because I like kirtan, I'm going into the kirtan, but I'm not going to go somewhere else because I don't like it so much. And one way to support others is also to go to their programs, even if it's not what we like the most ourselves. I see for myself, I'm really not good in book distribution, and just to hear going in book distribution, I will get a fearful impression. But sometimes ago, one bhakta asked me to travel with me, and he was just going every day on book distribution. And I thought, okay, let me go one day with him. And he was just so happy, and he felt so inspired just because I did that one day. So that's another very nice point. Although we sometimes we think, okay, I just like this and that and this and that in Krishna consciousness, why should I participate to other angas or other department of Krishna consciousness? But we can do it in a mood of service, and that's very, very supportive, because in Kali Yuga this strength of group, of being all together, is very, very important. Like when I started to chant the bhajan for this lecture, we were three, and there was not such a good such a strength. We were just three singing. But now that you are all there, we can feel there is a deeper energy, and it's very encouraging for me. I hope you are not bored, but for me, it's very nice to see all of you there. And there also, sometimes we might be sitting in a lecture that in which we are bored. Kadamba Kanana Swami was saying, sometimes he was speaking of this type of lecture when the speaker all the time speak on the same tone and repeat the things that we have heard really without life, and almost the speaker is falling asleep. It's sometimes there are situations where we are sitting in the lecture and it's a sacrifice to be there in the lecture. But to just stay there and just give our ears and just give our attention as a service to the speaker, this is far out, very far out observation or perspective. And Radhanath Swami explained that even if the speaker is not qualified, if we are hearing with an intense desire to hear something relevant for our spiritual life, then Krishna will empower the speaker so that he will be able to provide the inspiration we do need. So the point is really, even if we are not in the services that we would like the most, but to do it as service for those who like this type, it's actually very, very supportive and very encouraging. And Krishna sees that we are actually doing a sacrifice for supporting others. And that's actually what service means. Service means to make a sacrifice. Service means to put aside what I like for me and to give it for others. This is sacrifice. This is service. The word service has this aspect of being given, of being unmotivated. Service cannot be, I am doing that for you because I know later I will ask you something for me. That's not service. That's commerce. That's to be actually avoided. So to enter into that dimension of service means to enter into the dimension of sacrifice. And that's really the moment where we put our egoistic world, our self-centered world aside, and you are very deeply thinking, how can I please every single devotee? And sometimes we don't need to do much. Sometimes just to acknowledge that a devotee exists, it's already a very nice service. Just to smile to him or to just say, Hare Krishna, how are you, Prabhu? It's already such a great service. And I see sometimes devotees coming to me and speaking, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh, maybe I could do something else or I have other plan. But I just think, okay, now it's a chance for me to serve. Let me try to listen what the devotee is saying and see if I can encourage him in one way or another. This is the base of service. It's based on sacrifice. Sacrificing our time, giving of ourselves freely for the upliftment of another devotees. And that's what Krishna likes the most. That's what Krishna is asking us to do. When he's saying, the one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is actually my real devotee. Another service that is very important we can do for Vaishnavas, but that's maybe more for Vaishnavas who are a little more advanced, is to help other devotees to be properly situated. We can see very often devotees have abilities but are actually not properly situated. Their abilities are not properly engaged, or they are not in the proper setting for them to develop properly, and therefore the devotees are unsatisfied in the service they are doing. And that's also very important for those who are a little bit in a leading position to have in mind and check if the devotees of the community are actually properly engaged. Yeah?
Just on that point, because I mean, often sometimes when I hear, when they're advanced, you know, sometimes I feel like I've shied away from helping or supporting someone because I'm not advanced and still feel at the beginning stage. Whereas in my other life before, even though sometimes it was out of my depth because of people I was helping, for the charity work, like people who were bereaved or like alcohol or very ill, it wasn't, you know, I do not have a full understanding of what they were, but I could still give my peace. And I feel recently when I feel it's still that I'm not advanced, but sometimes some devotees present themselves and I look from left to right and there's nobody else to be there to support them. I just do a little prayer and then just try. And I still wonder for people like me who are not so advanced and still at the beginning stages, they should always try. Like to you know? And not that I think I can help them, but just that at least to think I shall try to do what I can. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
If I came and said, oh, I'm junior, but I'm going to try and correct this advanced book, I think that's wrong. Yeah, I mean, that would be wrong. That would be like a pride, ego thing. But if I come more with this sort of attitude that, I don't know what I can do, but Krishna, please help, because somehow I'm in this situation, and I can even walk away saying, Hare Krishna, just chant. Yeah, I mean, you know, I can really see if I can just give a few words.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I don't want to limit it just for those who are more advanced, but often for this type of services, to engage the devotees properly, it's often it needs to come a little bit from higher authorities in the temple. But we can also discuss when we see devotees unsatisfied in their life, we can just bring the question to them: what do you like to do? What are your strong points? Maybe what you are doing is not the proper things, and then they can actually start to sort it out on themselves. But just bring the point very, very often when there is this insatisfaction in the heart of the devotees is connected to their abilities that are not properly engaged. Yeah. There was this very nice story of here I'm going with another story, another point. Yeah, but it's actually quite close in supporting the devotees by engaging them properly in the service. We hear when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Tours in South India, he had a servant, Kalakrishna Das, with him. And during the journey, Kalakrishna Das was attracted by the Bhattadaris, or something like this, some type of tantrics, and they took they actually attracted him, and Kalakrishna left his service with Mahaprabhu, and then Mahaprabhu came to pick up Kalakrishna. Mahaprabhu could have said, okay, he's in Maya, he wants to leave my service, let it be, I will get another servant. But Mahaprabhu said, no, he's surrendering to me, he wants to serve me, and now I should take properly care of him. So he went there and rescued Kalakrishna. He spoke, they were actually type of sannyasis. And Mahaprabhu said, okay, you are sannyasi, I'm sannyasi. What is the use of taking my servant? Please give my servant back. And they were actually very agitated and took weapons and started to attack Mahaprabhu. And as they were trying, the weapons turned back to them and started to attack them and cut their fingers and their ears, and and they were running away, and then Mahaprabhu rescued Kalakrishna. But when the tour in South India was finished, they arrived back in Jagannath Puri, and then Mahaprabhu told Kalakrishna, now you go, now your service is finished. And there was this reason of you somehow left the service for this those bad things, so it's not good that you don't have the adhikar to stay in my service. And Kalakrishna was just totally devastated to lose the service with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was just totally finished. His spiritual life was almost dying, and all the devotees, they could also think, what he did wrong now is good for him, it's a good lesson, he did something wrong, now he has to pay the price. But no, they were so compassionate, they were thinking, how can we engage him? Now he has lost his service, how can we engage him in another service that he will be actually fulfilled? And then Nityananda Prabhu found the best service for Kalakrishna. He said, you go now to Bengal, you go to Sachi Devi, you go to all the devotees in Bengal, and you will just go on speaking about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India. You will just give the nectar of all the devotees who are so much thirsty to hear about Mahaprabhu. You just go to them and you will just tell them all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here is a very nice example how Nityananda Prabhu immediately could find the proper way to engage Kalakrishna so that he will get saved, his spiritual life will be saved. Any comments, any question at that point in engaging devotees? So let's go further. Hmm. Yeah, another point I would like to mention in this devotee association, in our relationship with other Vaishnavas, is to very often we can have some small type of tension or some small type of discomfort, or we are a little bit hurt in one way or another. And the point I would like to make is to immediately clear out those tensions. Because we see many times devotees who have left the movement, they were hurt in some ways. And many, many times they just could not forgive, or they just could not go over that. And we see sometimes devotees for something who happened 20 years ago, when they were once hurt deeply, they just could not go over that. And I think it's very important, as soon as there are some tensions, that we actually give the space for expressing them and discussing about them together, and actually solving those tensions. Because if we leave the time going through, then it's just we close ourselves with those painful emotions, and then it's very much detrimental, very much also closing the heart and not allowing us to have our proper loving devotional service. And one point I would make even more is that often when there are conflicts, we think I am right and the other is wrong. Huh? Isn't it? It's usually all the time like this. So usually no one thinks he should go and excuse himself to the other, because he thinks actually the other is wrong. I am right, so why should I go to apologize? And the point I would like to make is, even if you think, if you are 100% convinced that you are right, still go and apologize. I think this is very, very helpful to bring back the situation. And we have example, I had this example once. We were crossing the border with my Guru Maharaj from Germany to Switzerland, and we had to give our identity card to the men. And they looked at mine and they said, okay, you park on the side. And 10 years before, I did not pay a ticket to go in the tram because the machine was broken. And they asked my name and like this. And I had the old data card, so I gave them the old data and they never could reach me. But somehow this got stuck in the computer, and this time they got me. So they just checked the car from all place, took all out. We spent it like 2 hours at the border. And for Maharaj, we had a long journey. It was late. Maharaj was tired, and it was really awkward situation. And then after that, I had to pay something for what I did, and we drove, continue our driving to Switzerland. And my Guru Maharaj was chastising me. And I was trying to defend myself. Guru Maharaj, I could not pay the ticket. The machine was broken. It was not my fault. And as more as I was trying to defend myself, as more Maharaj was banging and banging and banging, that at a certain time I just have to surrender. I was totally mental finished. I just could not even speak to him or whatever. And when we arrived to Zurich Temple, I spoke with a devotee friend about what happened. And this devotee told me that actually very often even the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan were accused of having done things they did not do, because envious people will try to put them down. But even though they will not be responsible, they will accept it. And they will say, yeah, I did it. Yeah, please forgive me. I'm very low. I'm very fallen. They will never try to defend themselves in any situation. And this is very advanced. This is not easy. This requires humility. Even though we might not be in fault, but to go to the other devotee and say, I can see there is some tension, I can see you are a little bit upset with me, and please forgive me, although we might be sure I did the writings. I think it's very, very necessary for keeping good Vaishnava relationship between devotees. Another example is Shrivas Thakur, who was doing the kirtan in his house every night with Mahaprabhu and the devotees. And there was one Gopal Chakravarti, I think it was, who wanted to go in those night kirtan, but he was forbidden to go. And he just became so envious of the devotees that one night he put many tantric items in front of the door of Srivas Thakur's house. And in the morning when the devotees came out, they saw that they were really shocked. And Srivas Thakur, Radhanath Swami explained that Srivas Thakur called all the high people of Navadvipa, or all the high class people, to come in front of the house. And when they were there, he said, "Look, this is what I'm doing. This is who I am." He did not even try to defend himself. But everyone knew it just cannot be, and they just all understood. But that's another example that very often when there are conflicts, we are just trying so hard to defend ourselves, that actually it's not defend ourselves, it's defend our false ego. That's actually what we are trying. And it's very, very nice when we learn this art of taking the humble position. And even though we were maybe right, still we did disturb the mind of someone, and it's very good to take this position of apology. And this position of humility is also so necessary for us to enter into Vaishnava Seva. Yeah?
What about the time when Krishna also was accused for stealing the Sampatha jewel, that he was proving to that he did not steal it? Because you see that example where Sampatha jewel, he was accused.
Yeah.
So he went to so much extent to prove that he didn't steal it. It wasn't him.
Uh-huh.
So this is a contradictory example.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear your comment on that.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, Krishna is God. And it's not good that people speak bad on behalf of God, that they accuse God. It's not good. So Krishna, I think, in that sense, had to show to prevent people to do aparad toward God by criticizing him or making him think that he's a thief. But I will need to think a little more on that. It's just like a raw answer coming up.
This is like the lila, huh? It's a lila.
Mm.
And this is a lila, is the desire of Krishna. This is also rasa. No, but he was acting as a householder. Yeah, but this is the lila.
Yeah.
The other thing what I say, because you were speaking about somebody, sometimes somebody come and make us life very difficult, and so we try to defend ourselves. But at one point, come after a long time, come to the mind that actually maybe I was doing everything right, but maybe in the last life, or maybe I don't know when, but I was really doing it. So now come after the, even that I'm doing everything right, but come in this home, that somebody punished me. So devotee, you always hear that devotees, we see everything like mercy, Krishna's mercy. When the spiritual master is to have it with you, this is Krishna's mercy. If you have an accident, you see also like Krishna's mercy, because we always think, oh, I have to suffer maybe so much, but because of Krishna's mercy, I get just a little punishment in this home. So it's why we devotees, we see this like Krishna's mercy. And sometimes it's difficult, it's heavy, but then we also have to think, if I will not be devotee, maybe it will be more, or maybe I will take life and life and life. Now in this life I take because we see many devotees who are very sick, for example, who suffer so much, and we think how it's possible he is good. But we don't know that in this life purifies so much that he in this life gets all the reactions, and in the end of the life maybe Krishna can come.
Yeah, thank you. It's actually a very, very nice point. My Guru Maharaj was writing once an article based on Vaishnava Sangha or Vaishnava Association, and he was thinking that most of us, we still have some karmic reaction we need to get. And because we are all the time living with devotees, somehow the karma has to be given by devotees, because nobody else is there to give us this karma. So that's, it's actually normal that sometimes injustice are there, and sometimes we get hard treatment. Or some days ago, I was in Goloka Dham, and I was just in the mode of passion, and I wanted to bring my Govardhan Shila on the altar, and I just came on the altar very fast, and boom, and the super sadvik pujari was shocked by me entering the altar so fast, and half hour later I had to ask something to that pujari, and he just gave me poof. Really, I felt like getting a knife in my heart, and I just felt so, no need to tell in such a way. I mean, I can understand. I did a mistake. Why? And then I understood. Good. It's maybe some karma is going away. Just accept and just let it go. And then, interesting enough, later my ego was there, and I was thinking maybe this devotee will understand. He did something. He did hurt me, and maybe he will come now and ask forgiveness to me. You know, how the mind is working, it's very interesting. And actually, the devotee did not do it, and it was very good. The devotee did not come to ask to apologize. And I could see this Amanina Mananena, what should give respect to others and don't demand respect from others. I could see how the mind and the ego were actually thinking in that way. But it's very, very nice to see in that way. And that's actually how the devotees should see. And that's very often we get difficult times so that we learn to see that actually everything is under the control of Krishna. And whatever is coming to us, we deserve, or it's a result of our action, or is there to bring us into a reality platform, a platform of humility, a platform where we can maybe pray to Krishna in a genuine way. Sometimes we need to be shaken so that we are taken out of our illusion.
Like a test, because especially in the beginning, you live with brahmacharis or brahmachari ashram, the devotees sometimes they have this tendency to say, oh, you look very bad, why you have this bad quality like this, or false self will become completely done. So, but this is training for the future, because when we learn to be humble and tolerant in the beginning, then we can later big problems transcend.
Mm-hmm.
But if from the beginning this is small things, if I start this, I used to do this in the beginning, I used to start crying for everything. If somebody told me this, oh, I start crying, why do this to me, oh, I used to. But then I realized that actually that was good, and we become more mature, we learn to transcend and not to take so much seriously. Because sometimes we have the tendency, we devotees, to be very sensitive and take very seriously, oh, how he was looking at me, or she was looking at me, or he was screaming. So for example, in the beginning, sometimes the devotees start screaming, even temple president, for example. And then I say, Krishna, and I start crying. So now, when I become older and mature, I understand. Because they have so much responsibility. Because sometimes they really don't know what to do. And they become also an anxiety. And it's why, when the devotees, they react like this, heavy, it's because themselves, they have problems. Sometimes when I hear or I see somebody become heavy, then I say, oh, he really has problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think like this, no? Because otherwise, how is like he is like this? You know, because a devotee who have everything under control, peaceful, and have good qualities, the qualities mm-hmm. of the body. But when we become like this and speak of something that's wrong, and our sadhana bhakti or our chant, you know, or many things.
Not enough sleep
exactly
or things like this. Yeah, yeah.
So we have to also be intelligent to understand.
Yeah. Thank you. Natati, you had also a comment?
I wanted to make a comment on Matichi. She spoke about Lord Krishna when he stole the Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. He brought many witnesses. How do you make a comment on that to justify that one should not bring witnesses but accept that you are at fault, although you're not at fault? I would like to make a comment for her.
Mm-hmm.
For the benefit of
Please.
Lord Ramchandra, when his wife was kidnapped by Ravan, and of course it was not his real wife, it was the Maya form, and the villagers, they all were gossiping and saying that she has come back, and now Lord Ramchandra is living with his kidnapped wife, and he heard about it, and he felt very hurt that he's now living with his kidnapped wife. So as Lord Ramchandra, he had to prove to the villagers to satisfy them. So Sita had to enter the fire. But Lord Krishna, he took 16,108 wives, and nobody could stop that. So he has the power to do anything that he liked. But Lord Ramchandra could not do that. And that is the difference between Lord Ramchandra and Lord Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality, and he can do anything and everything. He can steal the butter, and he can bring witnesses. He don't have to bring witness. Anything he can do. But we see in this Leela of Lord Ramchandra, he had to prove that Sita was pure. But Krishna didn't do that. Krishna took in Dwapara 16,108 wives. Ramchandra took only one.
Thank
so,
you.
So that is what I want to say to her, that Lord Krishna can do anything. He can steal the butter, and he wants to call the entire universe to prove that he is right. He can do that. But what you're saying, that we should be humble, and that we should, even though we are 100% sure that we have not committed that, this humility we should have in us to say, yes, sorry, I did it, or sorry, forgive me. This is our way to reach a spiritual platform.
Yeah. And even if we're right, we can apologize that we hurt the person or that the person was disturbed in the way we expressed we were right. Or
point I want to make, which is different to this point about envious. Srila Prabhupada said, when a devotee is progressing, the other devotee should glorify him and praise him. And when you do this, this other devotee's devotional service increases. And if you envious of this person who is progressing, your devotional service is checked by Krishna. So if we want to progress, we can glorify the ones who are advancing, whether they are junior or senior. And when we glorify them from the heart, we will get progress in our devotional service. And if we criticize them, our service will be checked.
Thank you.
I heard Prabhupada giving that lecture.
Thank you. Wonderful. That's Sangha. That's Vaishnava Sangha, when different Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis open their minds and give their own perspective on different topics. This is enriching. This is Sangha. This is the reason why we want to live with Vaishnavas, to get these enriching comments. I was visiting the Veda Academy some weeks ago, and it was also very much based on interactive between the devotees, and at the end some of them told me, wow, I was so impressed to hear the depth of the spiritual life of some other devotees who are living in the same place than me. I did not know they were so deep spiritually. And the devotee was saying, now I really appreciate them much more. I develop much more respect their Vaishnavas. I had forgotten. I was seeing them as normal people. So I would like to touch a little bit on this point of humility as the base for us to do the service. And we have a very, very good example with Maharaj Prataparudra. Do you know, in India, a king means Aishwarya Bhav, means supreme control, like supreme power, representant of God also. And do you know that in India, to take a broom and sweep is actually very, very low class. And most of the Indian, they never do that. They will ask lower class to come to their house, even if they do a little hole in the wall to put a nail or something, they will ask a lower class to come and take the broom and clean. So on the day of the Ratha Yatra, Maharaj Prataparudra gives up his upadhi, gives up his identification of being a king, and take this position of being a humble servant and start to sweep in front of the Jagannath cart. And for this, Mahaprabhu is so happy of seeing him giving up this upadhi of being someone important, of being someone great, that Mahaprabhu gave him such a mercy that later he was one of the only one who could actually witness Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanding in all the kirtan forms and dancing simultaneously in all the kirtan forms. And I think this is also a very, very beautiful example for us to do service and to become servant of the servant of the servant. That demands humility. And humility means we give up this upadhi of thinking we are someone great, we are someone important. It's understanding, actually, I'm just a servant. And I like very much this example of Maharaj Prataparudra. And I think it's also very, very nice to do menial service that really help us to give us this identification of being someone great. Sometimes to cut the salad in the kitchen or to clean the bathroom or this type of service is actually very, very helpful for us to come in proper mood of service. Madhava Prabhu, who is such a great kirtan singer, was telling us that once when he was in Vrindavan, Aindra came to knock at his door, and Madhava Prabhu opened the door, and Aindra was just with Gamsha, and he said, "Let's go clean the toilet." And Madhava said, "Come on, I never cleaned toilet of my life. Even in my house, my mother will do that. I'm not going to do that." And Aindra was saying, "You need to do that. If you want to do a good bhajan, you need to do this service." And to take this humble position is very, very helpful. To give up this identification that we are someone great, that we are someone important, and do menial service for others is a very, very beautiful entrance gate for the service attitude, for true service attitude. My Gumash told me a story some days ago. There was a pope, Jean-Paul VI, let's say, and he was very, very, very good pope, but he got the tendency of becoming a little proud. Shishi Radha Kanaya Lal Ki Jai. Yeah, sure, it's nice. Very nice. So this pope got the tendency of becoming a little overly proud. And one day one angel came to the pope and called him by his old name. He said, "Hey, Giovanni, don't take yourself too serious." And usually when we are proud, we become very attached to our name, to our position. And this angel was making joke of him by calling him Giovanni, not by Giovanni, you know, it's really the name 70% of the boy will be called Giovanni in Italy. So he was making fun of this Pope. The angel was saying, "Hey Giovanni, don't take yourself too serious." And I like very much this. We so often take ourselves too serious, or my Guru Maharaj said it's very good that we laugh about ourselves time to time. So it's very good when someone make fun of us, and that's difficult to digest for the ego when someone is making fun of us, and especially when it's done in public in front of everyone. It's very, very difficult for the ego to digest, but it's actually very helpful for us to let go of this ego, to let go of this illusion that we are someone so special or so special. So we have a few more minutes. I don't know if there are any more questions or any more comments. I think now we are coming. I think from tomorrow the festival will really start very intensely. We will have more and more and more devotees coming. The intensity of devotion will grow. And it's very important that we try to keep a little bit in mind the points we have heard into our way to associate with others, to take all those Vaishnavas that are here as very special soul, to be very careful, to be very respectful to them, to take the opportunity to find those devotees who are affectionate, who are wanting to help, who have inspiration to share and to enliven our life by this Sangha. Prabhupada will say those who go to the holy places just to take their bath, they did not understand anything. One go to the holy places to go to the sadhus, to actually get shiksha, to get guidance, to get help in one's spiritual life. So obviously we'll hear a lot of nectar lectures, we'll have a lot of sannyasis and advanced devotees around us. Let's take the opportunity, let's approach them and ask them questions, inquire toward them. Let's take the opportunity to serve them, to go toward them and see how we can render service. And not only to those advanced devotees, but to the servant of the servant of the servant. All small Vaishnavas that are around us are very special souls. And to just meditate, how can I please them? How can I encourage them? How can I serve them? This will just bring us into very, very auspicious mood, in a very auspicious frame, actually, to be pleasing to Lord Nishinkadev and to eventually get his full mercy and make a new breakthrough, a new spiritual experience in our devotional life. So, I will stop here. I was planning to do the seminar in three parts and have one part tomorrow, but tomorrow I think the whole day will be some presentations, and I think we kept those two sessions in one of the topic I wanted to speak, and I think tomorrow we can just follow the other presentation that we will be here. I don't think it makes sense to have another parallel presentation with this type of lecture. So I thank you for visiting this small seminar and for your attention, and hope some of the points stays with you for the seminar, for the festival. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Prahlad Nishinkadev ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.